Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Heavenly Father and from Jesus Christ, our risen and Lord and our Savior. Amen. Our sermon title for today is, Why Are We Here? Based on today's gospel reading, John chapter 17. Let me read verses 15 to 18 one more time. Jesus said, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Why are we here? Well, we are here to hear the word of God, as our children said today. We are here to receive the forgiveness of sins. But why are we here in the world? In other words, what is the meaning of life? You get up every morning. It would be nice if you can sleep in late all the time. But there are things waiting for you. In my family, there are two little ones waiting for breakfast every morning. Everyone's days are different, but we all have something in common, and that is to fulfill our duties, whatever they may be. Sometimes after facing the daily grind of doing the same thing day after day, we start to question what in the world the purpose is. We know we all have our own unique set God-given gift and responsibility. That's true. But is there anything that ties it all together for one purpose? This is the basic human question, and therefore a question that we all ask. So it comes as no surprise that Jesus dealt with this question and answers it. Surprisingly, though, the answer is not given in the context of an argument with Pharisees or Jewish leaders, or in a discussion with his disciples. And it's not given in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus deals with so many fundamental issues. Instead, Jesus brings up the meaning of life in the context of a prayer. In verse 18, Jesus prays to his Father, As you send me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. Our life purpose is in complete harmony with the purpose for which God sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, die, and rise, that the lost may be saved. So today's gospel reading records the prayer Jesus prayed right before his betrayal. He prays this prayer within earshot of his disciples. He prays that they be protected from evil. Jesus knew that for the same reason the world hated him, the world would also hate them. Jesus does not pray that his Father take them from the world, or even keep them from temptation or sorrow. But Jesus prayed that his Father guard them from the power of Satan, from their own sin, doubt, and despair. These men needed to maintain. They had a purpose now, and that was to go into the world and proclaim forgiveness of sins. A very special purpose had become their number one purpose in life. Yes, these disciples had other responsibilities in life. We are sure. But the fulfillment of all responsibilities in their lives now centered on that special, wonderful purpose Jesus had given them. Right after our gospel reading ends, Jesus goes on in prayer. He prays, "I do not ask for this only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Not only does Jesus pray protection for these apostles, but also for each and every one of us. And we need it. We need protection in this world. I believe the first thing we need protection from is our own sinfulness. We remember what both Adam and Eve did when God came to them and confronted them about their first sin. They each pointed a finger to someone else. It's easy for us to point the finger at Satan or someone standing nearby. At other times, when we do own up to our sin, we may doubt that it is forgivable. Dear fellow redeemed, we have been washed clean in the blood of the Lamb of God. Our sins are forgiven. We hear absolution just a minute ago. It's a sure thing. It's God's promise. Yes, maybe there is a particular sin you just cannot believe is forgivable. Or there are some sin you just don't want to confess. Maybe you have thought that there just has to be something more to it than Jesus' simple word, "Your sins are forgiven." Maybe there is some slight, small thing you have to do or feel for it to come true and be complete, which is not really true at all. Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven. Therefore, your sins are forgiven." We also need to be protected from despair. We look out into the world and see all that's going on. It's easy to believe things are worse now for us than they are for the disciples. In a sinful world, it's always tough for believers. However, God has spoken. He has claimed you as his own with his own word. He says it. So it is certainly true. How exactly does God protect us? As we have said already, by his holy word. Jesus prayed, "Holy Father, keep them in your name." There is power in his name. He is the Almighty. He is the Savior. He is the one, the only one, who speaks and It is so. When we hear the name Jesus Christ, when we hear the name Holy Father, we may rest assured it's the one who loves us, has mercy on us, and that gives us his word of forgiveness. Holy Father, keep them in your name, which you have given me, Jesus prayed. Jesus once proclaimed of himself, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. This authority Jesus claims as his own is the authority to claim sinners forgiven and to be his own. When we hear his name, rest assured, it's he who has forgiven us and wants to continue to do, all with his word, your sins are forgiven. There is certainly no question, we are forgiven. Jesus' prayer is being answered again and again that the Father protects us from our own sinfulness, doubt, and despair, which all come from not believing his sure word of promise. What is the purpose of such protection? He loves us. He wants each of us to belong to his kingdom. And that is why he has already brought each of us in his kingdom through baptism. That is why God sent his Son into the world. That is why Jesus became flesh. Why he was tempted. Why he allowed himself to be mocked. Why he suffered and died. So God could claim us as his own. That was his plan. This plan was not just for us here, but for all entire world. For all the people of all the time. That's being God's purpose, to save the lost. Jesus sent his disciples to get that very word of promise out into the world. And where that word, your sins are forgiven, is preached and shared, there you'll find forgiveness of sin happening. Amazing what his word does. It's not just something that is spoken. It is a word that does something. Something amazing. God's purpose to save the lost through Jesus Christ is a purpose that goes through us. We have been made one single body. The body of Christ with one single message of the forgiveness of sin. Just as God's name indicates who he is, a gracious and merciful God. So our name, the body of Christ, Christians, indicates who we are to the world, the deliverers of that holy word. So we remain set apart and together. That word of forgiveness brought each of us into the body of Christ, his church. That very same word keeps us here. Now we have fellowship with Jesus Christ, and through Jesus, we have fellowship with God the Father, the Creator. What we all have in common is what we have received. That is what fellowship between each of us means. We have all received the same promise, protected and guarded from old sinful self, protected and guarded from a world that hates us. God's purpose, our purpose, is the purpose God sent his son into the flesh so the lost might be saved. The life we have, it is not our own now. It was purchased, and it belongs to Jesus Christ, who purchased it with his blood. The very purpose Jesus was sent into the world to do for all is the very purpose we are sent out into the world to deliver and share. This is our calling as a Christian. With that purpose in mind, we consider those who hate our Lord, who hate us for the message we carry. We consider them for the same reason Jesus considered them while dying on the cross for them, that their sins may also be forgiven. They deserve nothing different from what we deserve. And God wants them to have just what we ourselves have received. We are protected for his purpose. We are secure and assured with his word of promise. There are others out there that so much need what we have here. Why do we get up every morning, go to work, and do the things we do every day? Why are we here this morning? Why do we raise our children the way we do? God works through us. We pass along God's promise to our children so they too can pass it along to their children and to anyone who come into contact with their life. Why do we have the functions, the committees, the boards in our church? So, his word of promise, starting here at Trinity, gets spread to those around us. His purpose in our lives is one single purpose, to save the lost. We are one unified body with the very same purpose. Now we pray. May all our doings in life be according to that purpose. Dear brothers and sisters, for each and every of us, there is something, someone out there who needs to hear what we hear every time we gathered here. And that is, your sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Amen.